Thank you for listening to Caffeinated Chicks, Motivating Women. Welcome to our lifestyle and personal development podcast, where we encourage you to be authentically you and keep it real. I'm your host, Abby.
And I'm her cousin, Rachel. We know it's Monday and we know you're tired. Our goal is to help you feel motivated, inspired, and ready to face whatever it is the week throws at you.
Come sit with us.
Grab your coffee and dive into meaningful conversation that will elevate your life.
Hi guys, it's Abby and Rachel.
Hey.
And we are Caffeinated Chicks. Today we have a special episode for you guys brought to you by Rachel. But we're going to get started in what we're drinking. So Rachel, what are you drinking today?
I am drinking my usual adrenal cocktail. For those of you who have been on listening to our podcast episodes in the past, that is a mixture of orange juice, coconut water, mineral salt, and a probiotic. So very good for your adrenals. That's why it's called an adrenal cocktail, if you didn't gather that.
And it sounds very tasty.
So that is what I am currently drinking. Abby, what about you?
I am drinking one of those bubblers. I don't know if you've heard of those before, but they're like kind of energy drink in a way. It's got some natural caffeine in there. And I'm drinking the blueberry flavor.
I didn't actually know that those had natural caffeine in it. I just thought it was like one of those sparkling water drinks.
Yeah, it's technically a sparkling water, but it's got the natural caffeine too. And so it's cool. If I'm not drinking coffee, it's between that or like Celsius, which Celsius is not the greatest for you, but it's really tasty. So
guilty pleasures.
Yes.
Oh, but blueberry sounds delicious.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. You'll definitely have to try it. Sounds Rachel, good. What is your current favorite thing? Oh my goodness, I can't talk this morning.
My current favorite thing, I think, right now is youth group. It kind of took a turn for, so we started doing youth group in October, and it kind of took a turn for like the last couple of weeks. Just a lot of stuff went down, just a lot of drama and a lot of hard things with our kids, which it was a little bit stressful at first because, you know, we started in October and everything was easy and, you know, didn't realize what we signed ourselves up for. Yeah. But I think as we've gone on and like the kids have opened up more and more, things have come to light, and now we're just starting to see that, which has been, it's good, but it's hard. But I think that is my current favorite thing because I've had a lot of good conversations with some of the girls and they're opening up and sharing more with me. And one of them even called me or asked if she could call me one day out of the blue. And so it's been good. So I think that's my current favorite thing.
I like that. That's awesome. I didn't know you were doing that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. We took over after our associate pastor took a senior pastor job at a different church. So
okay.
He was the youth pastor originally. So they needed to, until we find a new associate pastor, they asked Levi and I to take over. So.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Abby?
Well, my current favorite thing is I'm still riding the high of vacation and wishing I could be back on vacation. but I don't have Disney money right now. We spend all our Disney money.
Yep.
but we went almost 3 weeks ago now, and the kids had the best time ever, and they keep asking when we're going back, and we said when mommy and daddy have Disney money again.
That's funny.
But yeah, it was just really cute getting to see from a different perspective, getting to see a 1-year-old get to experience Disney, because we've only experienced it through 2 and 3, and now 5 and 6. So now a 1-year-old too. So it was really, really, really kind of cool to see how he did with it. He loved all the rides. He always had a smile on his face, and he was dancing. He was very unsure about the characters, but as to be expected.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So we're wishing we were back in Florida in the warm weather right now.
No kidding. Yeah, I don't know about you, but it's been raining here like crazy.
Oh, yeah. We came back to basically a forest. Our grass was up to our knees.
Yep.
That's how much rain we got while we were gone. It's insane.
We got, I think, in a couple, like a week and a half, we got like 7 inches of rain. And then last night we got another 5 to 7.
Jeez.
So it's been insane. The poor farmers, like all the fields are flooded. Oh, the city of Algona's river has flooded over. It's just been bad. I mean, horrible. We've gotten water in our basement and everything.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, hoping it ends soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's an end in sight. It looks like, at least for us, we're going to have rain through the weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it stormed pretty bad today. Yeah, just a torrential downpour. So, oof. Yeah,
oh, I'm already done.
But I saw my cat. I saw my cat outside of the window, and I was like, "Oh, hey, good, you survived." Because I never put them in the barn, so I was hoping they found shelter somewhere.
Oh, that's good.
But they know how to get in the barn when the door's shut, so they just choose not to go there, and that's not my fault.
Yeah, you can only do so much.
So, yes, exactly. Oh man! All right, so today we are going to be talking about kind of just like tips for a healthy lifestyle for women. I can't presume to know that all of this stuff applies to men too, because men are wired very differently than women, obviously. but I wanted to say, like, just first things first with all these things, I have done so much research over the last couple of years of my life. I've really dived deep into holistic health, natural wellness, like all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of my perspective on things has changed drastically. And some of these things I'm going to talk about literally blew my mind. So they might blow yours too. but just want to make it clear, ultimately, your goal is to always strive for improvement in the area of health and wellness, not perfection.
Yep.
Because if you're anything like me, Abby, I don't know if this is you, but I'm like one of those go all in or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not realistic.
Absolutely not.
First of all, it's way too stressful. And obviously that just becomes an oxymoron, because you're trying to be healthier while making yourself more stressful to be healthier, or stressed out to be more healthier. And then in the long run, you end up not becoming healthier because you're stressed.
Yeah.
So that's not the goal. You don't want to try and do all of it, because it will stress you out. And then that just defeats the purpose. Second of all, nobody's budget can handle that, unless you're you have money pouring out of your ears. I don't even know, but like nobody's budget can handle all of the health changes at once, because it is expensive and it does take prioritizing, you know, what things are important to me to do and what things can I wait on, even if, you know, some person might say that that's more important than, you know, whatever, but you have to make the decision for yourself.
Yep.
And ultimately, every step you take towards health is better than no step at all. So you can sit paralyzed about it because you don't know where to start and whatever, but like little steps are better than no steps. So, and then my other just encouragement for our listeners would be to just do your own research. Don't just trust everything someone else says. Like, don't just trust everything I say. Like, go ahead and look these things up and see what is out there about them, and do your own research, but read, listen, study, like all of those things. And I think one of my biggest things that I really want to voice for people nowadays is to not rely on the healthcare system, but to be your own advocate, because there's a lot of corruption and a lot of things going on in the healthcare system. And we've figured a lot of that out since COVID.
Yep.
It opened up the eyes of a lot of us. And so just being aware of just being able to advocate for yourself is really what I'm trying to say, because you can't always trust their processes. And we all know that it's really expensive and not realistic for most people's budgets. I mean, heck, I don't ever go to the hospital. I adamantly avoid the hospital. But I went before I went to Guatemala this past March because I had a pretty bad sinus infection and I had just spiked a fever and I was supposed to fly like the next day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like I was in for a quick fix. Again, not my ideal. Like if I had time, I would have sat home and waited it out, because I don't go to the hospital. I just don't. That's my personal opinion. but I did. And they got me in. swabbed my nose, told me it wasn't the flu, told me it wasn't strep, sent me home with some antibiotics and a steroid, which did nothing, and charged me $500.
Jeez.
And I'm like, what is this nonsense? So, yeah, that's my opinion on that. It's just, it's way overly priced. It's not always very effective. And they're not always out to get you to the root cause of things. They just want to put a Band-Aid on your symptoms, is more what I'm trying to say too. So do your own research. Don't believe everything. I mean, honestly, you know how they say mother's intuition is like so, so important. Like, don't just do what, you know, this person says to do, but like, you know, in your heart, like what your kid needs. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like you and your body. Like your doctor can tell you one thing, but like, you know, your body better than your doctor knows your body.
Yep.
And your body is divinely designed to heal. So yes. Anyway, I could go off on that forever, but we're going to stop there. I just wanted to give those preliminary things. I knew I had something else I wanted to say in regards to that, but it just disappeared. So if it comes back, I'll bring it up. But I wanted to start off with non-toxic products. Abby and I are actually pretty into the whole idea of non-toxic or low toxin. I hate to say non-toxic because there's really no such thing as non-toxic. There's always going to be chemicals that we're going to come across in our life. But I could go on and on and on about this topic, to be completely honest, and we could probably just do this entire podcast on low toxin products, but I'm just going to try and hit the main things. And the first thing is, why does this matter? So things like parabens, sulfates, those are trigger words. We know those ones, like fragrance and stuff like that. Those things cause infertility, they cause cancer, and they cause a whole host of other health issues. I mean, from allergies to whatever, you know, like there are so many things that we think are just normal, but are not normal. And they're caused by simple personal care products we're using, whether it's makeup or hair care or cleaning products or anything like that. So like I said, things to watch out for are things like parabens and sulfates, anything that's a preservative, which is really hard because most products have preservatives in it because they need to preserve them. Yeah. And then they go bad, you know, if you don't. But fragrance is another really, really big thing. And I have gotten to the point where I won't use a product if there's fragrance in it, unless they've disclosed what their fragrance is or like where they're getting that fragrance from, whether it's like an essential oil or something like that. Because the company might say, oh, but we use safe fragrances. Well, then why don't you just write that on the label then? Like, why don't you write what those fragrances are? But when you put fragrance and then in parentheses, parfum, and you don't say anything about what that is, there's no way I can fully trust that you're being honest about your ingredients. Because I have seen companies that are, you know, that they will put fragrance and then they'll put, or they won't even put fragrance. They will just put like peppermint essential oil or, you know, something like that, because that's them being open and honest about what's in their products.
Yep.
But when you put fragrance in parentheses parfum, and then you don't disclose what it is, but you just claim that your products are safe fragrances, I have a hard time believing. That might be true, but it's not something I'm worth risking. Like, to me, yeah, it's not worth the risk. But the big thing why as to why fragrance is so bad is because it's an endocrine disruptor. So the endocrine system is our hormones, right? So what it does is it mimics the hormone estrogen. So then we have excess estrogen, which causes a whole host of problems. We already know that. Estrogen dominance causes really painful periods. Like any period symptom that you can come up with, estrogen dominance, breast pain, cramps, like all of these things that everyone's like, oh, it's just your period, it's normal. But it's not. It might be like, how does my friend always say it? It's common. It's not normal. So it happens to everyone, but that doesn't make it normal. That's not the way your body is meant to function. And so fragrance is it's a really big deal, and it causes a lot of those issues. And listening, you know, I've listened to podcasts of people that have like pain-free periods, and yeah, it's 100% possible. It all comes down to the products you're using, the foods you're eating, everything in between. Like I can say I 100% used to have the worst breast pain. I think Abby, you probably know this.
Yeah.
Like don't ask me to run. Don't ask me to jump. Lord, please don't ask me to walk up and down the stairs. Like just don't. Yeah. It's virtually gone.
Wow. It just
gone. Yeah. And so it really does. It makes a big deal. And then estrogen dominance also contributes to lots of things like cancer. And actually, believe it or not, cancer is, I think it's, can't remember the exact number. It's between like 3 and 5% genetic. And the rest of like the 95 to 97% of it is lifestyle induced.
Wow.
So everyone always thinks, oh, well, my family member had this cancer, so I'm just going to have this cancer. And it might happen. But what really is happening is that it's not so much your genes, so much as you've learned from the people before you, the lifestyle that they lived, you copy their lifestyle, and so then you gain their disease. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there is an aspect of genetics, but there's a really, so if anybody is a geek like me and wants to look up, I think it's called the Pottinger's cat study, is basically a study on the fact that, you know, they had these cats with the same genes, but they had one have a completely different lifestyle than the other. And then one ended up not being healthy and one ended up being healthy. So it's basically just that your genes can change based off of your lifestyle. So if you have cancer in your family, but you live a different lifestyle than your family member that had it before, like maybe you eat better, maybe you use clean products or what have you, you're way less likely to get it. And again, there's still a very small aspect of it that it is genetic, but it's very, very, very tiny. And I remember thinking about that with like grandma, like Abby, yeah. And our grandma died of uterine cancer. And then our aunt has uterine cancer too.
Yep.
But I look at that and I go, well, that does check out because of course it was her mom. Like she learned and did what her mom did because that's who she learned it from. And now she's changed her lifestyle. And she still has cancer, but her numbers have plummeted.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just, it's crazy. There's so much with that. But anyway, to keep going along in this podcast, with the whole non-toxic, a really good place to start, or low toxic, sorry, would be the EWG app is what it's called. It's called the Environmental Working Group. It helps you to find clean products. So it gives you kind of like a scale of like 1 to 10 of how toxic it is. And then it will lay out which ingredients in the product are toxic and which individual ingredient, what number on the scale that ingredient is. So it's very thorough.
Wow.
And if I don't feel like I can do all of the research on each individual ingredient, I just go with the 1 to 3 on the EWG scale. Like if it's 1 to 3, then I can use it. If it's not, I just don't. And I remember thinking like, there were a couple of my products that I really liked that were well beyond 3. And I was talking to my friend Becca about it. And I was like, well, maybe I just won't care for this one product. And she was like, but is that worth it, Rachel? Like, you're struggling with infertility. Do you really want to add more fuel to the fire? True. And it's like, good point. You're right. I don't. And so that's been really helpful. So it's just an app and you can like search products. You're not going to find everything on there, but you find a lot. Okay. And then, yeah, just do your own research on other products as well is always a good thing. Thankfully there's a lot of options out here now. I mean, they're starting to realize how important health is, and a lot of companies are really cleaning up their products. Again, you still have to know kind of what clean products look like because they like to slap on the tag clean or low toxin or whatever, because it's the trigger words that people want to see. So oh, yeah. You still need to know what you're doing. Like you have to be aware of what's in it. I mean, any product swaps for that. My personal favorite for makeup is called Araza. I don't even know how you say it. But their tagline for their product is if looks could heal. I love that. So it's just, it's the idea of it is that their product is so clean. I mean, literally their ingredients are like 10, maybe. It's a super short ingredient list, which makes it really easy to do your own research. But it's so clean that you don't even have to take it off when you go to bed. I do, because that'd be gross.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. Like, that's how clean it is. It's okay on your face. And I've noticed that breakouts are so minimum because after using those products. So that's, you know, one little thing. Like cleaning products, Branch Basics is a good company for cleaning products. It covers pretty much every product that you could have ever imagined needing in cleaning your house. Cosma is a company that I use for my skincare. And they actually use beef tallow primarily in their products, which is very, very good for your skin. And they're very strict about even like, so most personal care products have polyunsaturated fats in them, which is, I like the fancy word I call them is PUFAs. Basically they're just, what are they? They're processed oils.
Okay.
And the only reason why there's processed oils in your makeup and your hair care and all that kind of stuff is because it makes the products cheaper, it lasts longer and all of those things. But just like that's not good in your body for food, it's also not good on your body in personal care products. And so I really like Cosma and Araza because both those companies are PUFA free. Like they don't put anything like that in their products. And we're going to get on that topic on the summer tips here in a little bit. I can't remember my laundry detergent that I use. I think it's called Truly Free, maybe, but I super love that stuff too. So, I mean, there's a lot out there. Do your own research. To keep this podcast moving along and me not talking too much, summer tips. So this is a super important topic, because skin cancer and all of those things is a very huge trigger word.
Yeah.
And so there are things like non-toxic sunscreen, 100%. And if you have to wear sunscreen, please get low toxin sunscreen. But I have a very interesting opinion on sun exposure and sunscreen and everything in between. So it's actually better to limit your use of sunscreen because not only does it block the sun from burning you, it blocks the vitamin D from absorbing into your body. So if you're going outside and you're slathering on sunscreen all of the time, you're not actually getting any of the benefits of the vitamin D that the sun would give you if you weren't wearing sunscreen. So my opinion on that is obviously skin is different and some people burn really, really easily and it is painful and it's not fun. So if you're going to be in the sun a lot and you can't get away from it, I would just start off for a little bit without sunscreen, like not a long time, but just like a few minutes to get some vitamin D in your system. Not to the point where you're just going to burn like a lobster, but because safe sun exposure is still important. Like,
oh yeah,
let me hear that. I say that, like, it's still important that you don't overdo your sun exposure. But I would start off for a little bit without sunscreen, then apply it. And then that way you're still getting the benefits of the vitamin D, but then you're still avoiding getting that uncomfortable burn. Especially in the beginning of the summer when your skin is just not accustomed to the sun because you've been inside for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
But another interesting thing that I did a lot of my research on and really just started to blow my mind and it makes a whole lot of sense, is how we tend to blame the sun for skin cancer, right? Every sunscreen bottle that you buy literally says something along the lines of like, put this on to protect from skin cancer caused by the sun or something like that. Like they blame the sun, but the sun is so important. Like our bodies need the sun. And so in reality, it has a lot less to do with the sun and a lot more to do with our overconsumption of processed oils. So hear me out. Processed oils, the reason they're so bad is because when you heat them to a certain temperature, they go rancid, which makes them toxic. Not good. Not good for you to eat that because then it's toxic in your body. But if it becomes rancid at a certain temperature and it's not good for you to eat, could you imagine it sitting in your body when your body's at a 98-degree normal temperature? like our normal body temperature is 98.6?
Something like that, yeah.
So you're eating a bunch of processed oils that are then sitting in a body that is super hot, going rancid. And then add in being outside baking in the sunlight to that. And you are literally frying yourself. Blow your mind a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's a lot of the reason why your skin burns is because of, and you see that because literally everyone in America eats trash. So, and I eat trash too. I mean, don't get me wrong. I burn more when I don't eat trash. I burn more when I eat trash and I don't burn as much when I don't. It's funny how that works. It's because that's what your body does.
Yep.
And so that's a really important concept I think people need to understand is that it's not necessarily the sun so much so as it's what you're putting in your body. And then obviously not limiting your sun exposure and not being cautious about how much time you spend in the sun. Another thing that will boggle your mind a little bit and is so anti what everybody in the world believes is sunglasses. The first time I heard this, I was like, this is crazy, but it made so much sense. So, you know how when your pupils are exposed to light, they get smaller, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then when they have the shadow casted over them, they get bigger. Okay. So there's value in your bare pupils seeing the sun because, letting light into your pupils, like natural light, whereas the sunglasses is blocking it with those ultraviolet ray protection, whatever, letting natural light into your eyeballs triggers your body to produce melanin, which is the, it's not hormone, which is what in your body causes your skin to get darker. Like melanin is your, like tanning thing. Can't even think of the right words right now. So if you are covering your eyes and you're never letting in light in your pupils, even for just a little bit, I've been getting on my husband about this a lot lately. Like, I'm like, just take your sunglasses off for a little bit. Like, you don't have to wear them off the entire time if you're dying. Like, you can put them back on, but for a little bit, allow your body to start regulating some melanin. And then you might not burn as bad, or you might not burn at all, because your body is doing that. But when you cover your eyes with those sunglasses, your body thinks it's night. Why would I need to produce melanin? Because it's nighttime. So that's why it's important, I think, to see the bare sun and allow your body to trigger that melanin production. So then you don't burn as much. I mean, I testified to this when I was in Colombia last summer in July. I brought my sunglasses, but I just didn't feel like putting them on. And I didn't feel like carrying them with me and stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to not wear them. And I didn't really even think about it. And then that entire time I was there, it was like 95 degrees out every day. Just got a tan. Didn't even burn. And I was eating really clean food in Colombia. So it was funny how you would put those two together. Like, okay, I ate a good diet and I didn't wear sunglasses and I was still in a lot of sun and I didn't burn. So that was when all this started becoming a little more real to me, because it was like, oh, wow, like that's insane. Another couple little things, like these are some of these things I haven't really done a whole lot of research on. Grounding, I guess I have. I mean, I think everybody kind of knows the importance of grounding.
Yeah.
Helps lower inflammation, helps improve your sleep. Protects you from the crazy EMF exposure that we have these days with all of our tablets and Wi-Fi and everything. And it also just plain feels good to put your bare feet on a lush patch of grass. I mean,
absolutely.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
It feels so nice, but it allows your body to slow down and connect with nature again. So I think that's another super important thing. Another topic, is water. This is another thing that blew my mind, and my husband's been preaching this to me since pretty much we got married, but I was like, yeah, you're wrong. But first and foremost, the importance of reverse osmosis and purified water. So most people just think, oh, if I just get purified water, then I'm doing good. And it's like, yeah, I mean, that's a good start. but reverse osmosis puts the minerals back in your water. Because if it's just purified, that means it's purified of everything, even the minerals, but you want the minerals in the water. And so if you get a system that has reverse osmosis, it puts them back in your water and then you don't have to add them back in yourself. Which a lot of people don't know that they should be doing that. And then making sure that when you are drinking water, you are adding back in minerals, whether it's like salt, some magnesium, potassium, things like that. Because if you are just drinking water, drinking water, drinking water, drinking water, and not replenishing your minerals, you are literally drowning yourselves. And you're not actually helping yourself at all because you can't retain all of that. Like it just drowns out your cells. And so things like adrenal cocktails, like I talk about drinking all the time, salt packets, like if you've ever heard of Elementi, it's a really good company that makes these packets that have like 1,000 grams of sodium in it and 60 milligrams of magnesium and then like 200 potassium or something like that. Coconut water has a lot of potassium in it and other minerals, just magnesium in general, like super important to be doing all of this, putting all these minerals back into your water and not just drinking tons of water until you drown out your cells. And I remember the first time my husband was like, Rachel, like, cause I used to be like, man, I'm so hydrated. If my pee is clear, you know, like go me. No. And my husband was like, Rachel, your pee is not supposed to be clear. That means you're drinking too much water. And I was like, what? There's no such thing as too much water. You know, I'm trying to get a gallon in a day. No. You shouldn't even, like, I remember thinking that I should be doing that. Like, I should be drinking a gallon of water a day. You know, you can get water in a lot of other things, like milk has water in it. Like orange juice has water in it. Like there's a lot of other things you can be drinking that will give you the benefits of extra vitamins and extra minerals that plain water can't give you. Don't get me wrong, drink water, but your pee shouldn't be clear.
No, definitely
it should
not.
Be a light yellow. So that was insane to me. Just the idea of, you see that trend going around all the time of how much water you can drink. okay, if you guys are wondering why I'm laughing, Jeremy just appeared behind Abby. all right, moving right along. We're going to talk about just food really quick. So eat more real food and less processed food. I feel like that should go without saying.
Easier said than done, but yes.
Yep, it is. It is definitely one of those things you need to prioritize and decide for yourself if it's something that, you know, you can realistically handle or not. For me, I have chosen to give up a lot of things. I've chosen to give up a lot of things that I would like to do to prioritize the health of my husband and I. So that means I'm homemaking a lot more things rather than going for the convenience of buying it at the store. Because I prioritize what goes in our body and that's my personal desire for us. Not everybody is there, but anytime that you can just prioritize real food, you know, stuff that like real meat from animals and from, you know, food from gardens and like fruit, like real food is always better than anything that's processed or packaged or canned or anything. Also watching for your ingredients. This is once I started going down this road, oh my gosh, it was overwhelming. It was so stressful. You look at any ingredient label and it has everything under the sun that it should not have. Like high fructose corn syrup is like a huge no-no. Any of those processed oils. So think of vegetable oil, canola oil, soybean oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil, like all of those oils that basically aren't coconut or avocado or, like ghee, just not good, not good. And so, but when you look in the store, like you pick up a can something, the very first ingredient would probably be soybean oil, which is always a no-no because if it's the first ingredient, you know, that's the main ingredient. And that's not good. And so it's crazy. If you start to look at ingredient labels, it's so bad, Abby. And so there have been times where I'm like, all right, I want to make, you know, this recipe, but it calls for chili sauce. And I went to the store and I looked at the chili sauce and the first ingredient was high fructose corn syrup. And I was like, that's literally poison. Like, I'm not buying that. That was the only option. And so finally I was like, all right, Pinterest, what do you got for me? Can I make my own chili sauce or whatever? Took me like 5 minutes.
Nice.
I'm like, what? Why have we been doing this? Why have we been buying this stuff off the counter if it literally takes 5 minutes to make it at home?
Yeah.
I mean, why? And so that was insane to me. So that's what I watch for. I watch for a lot of like processed sugars. So like sucralose and aspartame and all of those things. And then, you know, all those processed oils. Try and make things on your own as much as you can. Again, this is going to look different for everybody. Yeah. Like what they have time for and what they prioritize. Like, I'm not afraid to say that I prioritize it, and that's me. That's not everybody. But again, in moderation, because doing any little thing that you do for your health is always going to be better than doing nothing at all. Absolutely do not try and do it all at once because it will stress you out and you don't have to be perfect. I remember when I first started diving into this, I remember texting my friend Natalie and going, oh my gosh, everything is poison. Like, it's like everything is so, and Levi will, it's so funny. Sometimes today he told me he walked down like the Crisco aisle and he was like, saw looking at all the oils and he was like, Rachel, why do they still let that poison out there? Like, I have completely corrupted my husband with this whole natural way of looking at things. But now he sees everything and he goes, poison. Because I've trained him well. we could even go into like dyes and how red dyes and blue dyes and all this candy stuff that we give our kids. Like, my sister-in-law has actually gotten away from that with her son, which I'm very proud of, because there was a point when she wasn't, she was letting him have whatever. But she noticed how his attitude and his personality would change to a 180 when he had a dye. Like, 100%. He would be super crazy, super naughty, all these things. And then if he didn't, he would be normal, even keel. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Like, these are not good.
Our kids too, back in January.
Yeah.
And it's
made a difference, didn't it?
Big difference. Big difference.
Wow. Yep. 100%. And you guys have been on just kind of your own journey too, with Jeremy going gluten-free and everything like that too. And there's so much benefit in gluten-free too. I mean, Levi and I, we don't have a gluten intolerance, but we eat mostly gluten-free or sourdough.
Yep.
Just because gluten is an inflammatory food.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's not made the way it used to be made. Now it's overly processed.
Yes.
And so I prioritize sourdough because that breaks down the gluten through the fermenting process so that it becomes pure form of a pure form of gluten, not like the processed. I think if you do your own study on it, it does make it not gluten, but I don't recommend it for those who need to be gluten-free, because I don't know how all of that works. But I do know that if you go gluten-free for a while and then you add back in it, like sourdough, its natural form, because that's what sourdough is.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people who are originally gluten-free can actually have sourdough.
Interesting. Because I was just going to ask that. I wonder if that would be something Jeremy could try or not. Huh.
If he's willing to give it a try, yeah, he definitely could. It would have to be something that you made, because even when like stores say it's sourdough, they still put like yeast in it or like whatever. Yeah. Which
I would much rather do my own starter if I was going to do something like that.
Right. Yep.
But
I would be curious too, especially if he's gone a really long time on gluten-free, because that's what they say with dairy too. Like, if you go dairy-free for a really, really long time and then you add it back in its purest form, which would be raw milk and raw cheese, a lot of people can tolerate that. So it's actually has a lot more to do with how it's processed and how it's changed over the years that we've caused all of these allergies in people. So, it's wild.
Well, even like with dairy too, we have to be really careful with like the utensils and the cooking as well, because if it's even been cross-contaminated, he can have issues.
Yep.
So we just have to be really careful of things like that, and it's just crazy how much things have changed.
100%. Mm-hmm. couple of other things that I'm not going to talk about personally because I haven't really looked into it. But if you guys are curious about it, you can look into as a female, like eating for your cycle or working out for your cycle. This is something I've learned a little bit about, just like kind of in passing. I've not done like a deep study on it, but just the idea of there are certain, like you have the four phases of your cycle. And supposedly during certain phases, certain foods are better for you based off of what phase in your cycle you're in. Warm foods or cold foods, like that kind of thing, which things to prioritize. Working out for your cycle too is, you know, easier workouts during your menstrual period, harder workouts during your ovulation, because that's when you have the most energy, like all those kinds of things. It is a very interesting topic, and I think there's a lot of value in it. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I feel like looking into because it sounds very stressful to me. And other people can handle stress better than I can. So if that's you and you want to look into it, I see a lot of value in it. It's just not something that I'm looking into right now. Other healthy things you can benefit from, things like saunas, things like cold plunges, slowing down and stressing less. I mean, it's just super important to not overwork yourself, especially for a woman with hormones. Yes. Like it's the men are meant, they're actually built to be able to handle stress better than women, but we are not. And so we need to take care of ourselves. And so it's just, you know, we've talked about before, we've had a podcast episode where we talked a little bit about like learning to say no, like it's a full sentence, because you just can't take on everything that just causes unnecessary stress. Yep. So finally, just ultimately prioritize slowness, prioritize community, and prioritize a relationship with nature. Just like our podcast episode that we had on hurry, you want to spend your time investing in things that fill your soul. And that's the major way to achieve good health, is to spend time on things that fill you up and don't drain you. And honestly, the relationship with nature is super important because we were created to live in nature. I mean, in the beginning, Adam and Eve lived in a garden. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we are literally so far removed from our roots that we wonder why we're so unhealthy.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, just prioritize slowness, community, relationship with nature, and things that fill your soul. One last little quote. It's from J.R.R. Tolkien, if there are any Lord of the Rings fans out there. It says, if more of us valued food and cheer and song over hoarded gold, it would be a merrier place.
I love
that. And I just love that.
Yeah.
Because it's so true. I mean, the simple things in life. And yeah, and I'll add, I think we'd be healthier people. But our unhealthy lifestyles mixed with a life of speed is going to catch up to us. And I think it has. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing like an epidemic of health issues in this world that I don't think they had several years ago.
No.
So, yeah, I really hope this podcast episode broadened your horizons a bit. I know I was just me talking and blabbing and everything in between, but hope it made you think. And I also hope it really does encourage you guys to go and do your own research and be your own health advocate. Don't let what I said be that end all be all, because I'm still learning. So yeah, that's my encouragement to you guys. Just go out there and find out for yourself and prioritize things that you feel like are necessary for you. And don't let anyone tell you anything different, because I know there have been lots of scenarios where I have been told to do X, Y, Z, and I have a different opinion on it. I just genuinely do. I don't think that that's the way to achieve health. And this person feels very adamantly that it is. And so again, it all comes down to, you have to do your own research and then trust your gut.
Exactly. When always it comes down trust to your it. Gut.
Yep. So, all right. That's all I have for you guys today. I hope this was helpful for you. And if you have any other questions or you just want to know anything about anything I said, you can always pop on over to Instagram and love to chat your ear off about any of this. And if you have any other ideas or anything you just want to add to this even, yeah, we would love to hear from you. So
absolutely.
But any last words, Abby?
No, I actually think this was a really good episode, and it was really eye-opening for me too. Some of these things I've never heard of. So it was very good.
Oh, yeah. And
interesting. So thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
All right. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Thank you, guys.
Yep. See you next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Abby and I over a cup of coffee, black for me.
Or a cup of creamer with a dash of coffee for me.
Gross. We look forward to motivating and encouraging you in this crazy thing we call life.
But before you go, make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. Subscribe in Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening. And please, please, please leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Come tired and leave inspired with Rachel and Abby. Until next time, we're Caffeinated Chicks.